Welcome back. It's Tom Bell here, and this show is dedicated to encouraging you to live a life that you truly love, full of passion, full of purpose. And on today's show, I have Kevin Carton, spiritual coach. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here, Tom.
I'm excited to have you, bud. I've been watching your posts and I see how positive you are and, you know, just full of energy all the time. But, you know, for people who haven't come across you yet, tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, that's a great question. Like, what about myself? Like, who am I? That's a loaded question, but just some basics. I mean, I'm 27, about to be 28. My birthday is on December 13th.
Happy birthday.
And when someone's listening to this, I'll probably be 28. Mm-hmm. But I live in Denver or Westminster, Colorado. I live with my cat. I am, as you mentioned, a spiritual coach. I've been running my coaching business for the last 3 years. I live a life that I love, and I love to snowboard. I love, you know, working with my clients that are literally all around the world. And I honestly, people ask me like, oh, what do you do in your spare time? It's like, I just read. Or like maybe some here or there, I'll watch some shows like The Mandalorian. I love that show.
Oh, okay. Is that on Disney? I think I've seen that when I'm like kind of chilling with my kids. And I was like, oh, I wonder what that is.
Yep. It's on Disney Plus, and it's a spinoff of Star Wars, which me and my girlfriend have really been enjoying. So Yeah, I mean, if that gives like a good, rounded picture of like who I am, but
I like it. So you've started young. Like, I mean, you know, to be that old right now and really like, so that's kind of living your purpose pretty well out the gate. Like, I don't know, you know, a lot of people that I've met that it's like, oh, you know, I'm super young and I exactly know what I want to do and I'm doing it. And I'm living it to my fullest. So, you know, like, were you doing something else before that? And, you know, you're not like at, you know, in a department store or packing shelves somewhere, like, you know, just thinking, oh God, I'd love to be a spiritual coach. Like, where were you prior to that?
Yeah, it's a great question. Cause it was a journey, honestly. So like I said, I'm 27 now, I've been running my business for 3 years. Prior to that, it was about a four or five year journey to really discover what my purpose is, which is what led me to start my coaching business. But starts all the way back when I was 19 and I got into personal development. I was in school to get my doctorate in pharmacy. So completely different path of life. I was in school to get my doctorate. It was a 6-year path. I love science. I still do. Hence why me and my brother run a podcast called the Science and Spirituality Podcast.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting one. And it's an interesting mix too. Those two things together.
Yeah, exactly. Which there's a lot of overlap. So I've always been interested in science, hence why I went down that path of getting my doctorate in pharmacy. But when I was 19, it was about halfway through my schooling, I got into personal development. I just picked up a book that a friend of mine recommended. It's called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Mm-hmm. It's a classic in personal development. Also a textbook, because it is deep. And it cracked me open. Like, I started to question everything in my life, and particularly my path of my career and what I was doing for work. And it took me about 6 months to really discover and decide that being a pharmacist was not for me. But ultimately I realized that it wasn't the path that was going to make me happy. Like, it would be making great money. It was respectable. Again, I enjoyed science, but I knew that I didn't want to help people that way. That like Western medicine, there's a lot of flaws to it. And I just didn't want to contribute to that industry. And I knew I wasn't going to be helping people the way I wanted to help people to make real true transformations in their life. So that's what just opened me up on my journey of just discovering what is my purpose. And then from there, like, I went from working for my fraternity. I worked part-time for them for about 9 months. I got a job working for them. Then I got certified as a yoga instructor because that interested me. And then through the process of ultimately seeking out coaching, because I was kind of feeling lost in my life, I hired a coach. Through that work with my coach, I ultimately discovered that like my passion is really to learn this information myself of like what causes real transformations in people's lives, like the laws of the universe, one of them being the law of attraction, which is highly popularized right now. But there are tons of other laws that people just don't know about, and they're either working with them or not. And so I just got really passionate about this, and I eventually got a synchronistic opportunity, which we could go into, but I'm just telling the whole story as quickly as I can so like we can go deeper. But I got a synchronistic opportunity to work for my mentor's company. So it was only a year after I left pharmacy school that I got a job working full-time for my mentor's life coaching company. And so I got hired as a content developer. So I was working behind the scenes on her content, like writing scripts for her videos, writing eBooks, like I was ghostwriting, just doing a lot of research and development. And I did that work for about 2.5 or 3 years before then I started to realize that as much as I loved doing that work, I was still behind the scenes and I just wanted to make a more direct impact. Mm. And so I felt like I'd grown enough and learned a lot to then first off get certified. I wasn't just going to go off on my own age 24 saying I'm a life coach and I can help you change your life when I didn't have it. Exactly. Yeah.
It's a and tricky one being young.
Exactly. And that was a big fear of mine, which again, the institute that I got certified by really helped me in overcoming because it is just a fear. That's all it is. Like there is some validity to it based on facts, but the truth is that it doesn't matter. Like, oh, actually this, I actually hadn't made this connection yet, but just in saying that it doesn't matter your age because there is a kid. I think he calls himself kid president.
Oh yeah.
He's, seen the kid. He's like 11 years old and he's a motivational speaker. Yeah. Like thousands of people like listen to him and like views and like, so it really doesn't matter the age. You can inspire and help someone no matter where you're at in your life. And so just, I got over that and started my business. So that was kind of my journey to get there. So there was many different things I did before starting my business, but ultimately the through line of it all, like the thread was that I was following what resonated with me. I was doing with what I loved, like what I really wanted to be doing. And just, I went for it. So
that's a big thing to be able to actually like, I mean, we probably innately know when something does resonate with us, like a tuning fork, like bing, and all the other tuning forks go off, like frequencies and whatever else. But, you know, to actually be able to feel that and go, oh, hang on, what is that? I like this thing. I don't like this other thing. And, you know, you following your passions, I do believe that if you start with interest and then you start to get more into like passion, and then that can sometimes dig you down to the purpose if you keep stripping down. You know, I think I need to do yoga. I've been told I've got fibromyalgia and I'm walking around in pain a lot of the time in my body or sitting at my desk. And so we had this guy come out and teach us a few little stretches and yoga-y kind of things. I've tried yoga, can't touch my toes. So, you know, one day maybe I'll be able to get you to give me some tips in that space. But, you know, you're in this pharmacy degree and, you know, really like that status, the money, the all of that sort of stuff, like, you know, and it's great that this book has cracked you open in a way, but that's probably a hard thing. You know, it resonates, you know, it feels right, but probably now to actually go out to the world and be like, I've changed my mind. I realize now that I've got the intelligence, I've got the capability, I've got everything, and I've made it into this high level thing that would see me minted, so to speak. How was it when you wanted to start going and like, talking to other people and saying like, actually, this isn't what I want to do now. Like, did it take a little bit of time to muster up the courage to get to that point where you're like, no, I'm going to drop this thing?
Definitely. Yeah. Like it actually happened in two different phases of my life in that story I shared. First off, which is very clear, is when I left pharmacy school, and I'll tell about that. But then secondly, it's also even more subtle, was the draw and the pullback to stay in the job I was working for my mentor's company before and not start my business because, oh, you have a full-time job, you have a salary, it's a good pay. Like, why not be in there for a couple more years, gain more experience? Why start your business now? Like there was a lot of logic to staying as well there, even though in that job, I was really enjoying my work. Like I loved it.
That's a tricky one, isn't it? Because that is like a dream. Like, and I'm interested in the synchronistic side of that as well, because that is like almost the dream. Like you want to go and be a life coach. You want to be a motivational speaker. You like, I mean, this could be a limiting belief. It probably is, but you know, you're probably signing up for challenges with running your own business, finding work. You know, will you be accepted? Will you not? How many speakers are out there? How many life coaches are out there? So to actually somehow land in a place where you can learn and absorb and take it all in, but still it's not being true to yourself. And it's like, ultimately, our mission here on life, our purpose is probably to live. live our purpose, to do anything else, you know, we'll probably arrive at the finish line and be like, looking back, like, oh, imagine they play the movie of what your life would have been if you'd lived your purpose at the end. You'd love to just know that, oh, you don't need to watch the movie, you lived it, right? Or instead, yeah. Like, imagine how sad it would be, like, oh my God, I would have done this and helped this many people and been this happy. So it's bold and brave of you to know that that still wasn't right. So tell me a bit more about that.
So about that one both I just brought
if
up.
You like.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'd like to tell the first one first, because I was 21 when I was making that decision, and it was, again, very logical to stay. My parents were saying, like, you should just finish your doctorate, get your degree so you're secure, you can have that job, and then you can go and try and do what you want. My brother was saying, like, yeah, you should just finish your degree. All my friends in pharmacy school, because they were becoming pharmacists themselves, they were like, yeah, you should just stay and just finish out your degree. Almost no one was supporting me in my dream. So there's two things, at least, that I've learned that are necessary. And the first is the foundation, is that you have to believe it in yourself, and you have to continue to come back to that. And it'll be dozens of times. Often, if it's like the first real big move and shift and change in your life, you have to keep coming back to, I believe in myself, I could do this. If I feel it in my heart, then I could live it in my life. So that was like my foundation, that I kept coming back to that. And that was supported by the information that I was reading. Like, I was hungry for personal development information. Like, every single day, even when I was in pharmacy school, I would read some type of personal development book. I would look up some motivational video. And personally for me, like, I first really got into the realm of, like, receiving support from Bob Proctor, who's an amazing personal development coach and world renowned, and he's phenomenal. So I would saturate my mind with that information, because it supported me in what I knew within was true. Because if we're not supporting ourselves from within and telling ourselves the truth, then all of those outside voices will get in us and dissuade us. Mm-hmm. But there's a great quote by Eleanor Roosevelt that really brings us into a great analogy, is that she says that all the water in the world cannot drown you unless it gets inside of you. So for me, there was a lot of voices on the outside saying, you should stay, you should not go off and, you know, try something on your own and go for your passions right now, like, just stay secure. So if I hadn't been supporting myself from within, then I wouldn't have made that decision. But then the second, so that's the first requirement, is like supporting yourself from within and, like, just believing yourself.
Which shows how big that must have been, because to have everyone around you saying, and they mean well, I'm sure that they mean well. But 100%. Everybody, like, you know, there's a level of surety. Like, for me, that was, my story wasn't like that. Like, I'm 17, want to be a motivational speaker, put that out to my family. And it was like, well, you know, dad's talking to me, and he meant well. He's like, well, dad, he's saying, like, look at Wayne Bennett, look at these guys, you know, look at the life that they've lived. That's how they're doing that. I remember going, oh, wow. I'm not like them, and put that dream on the shelf. And it's not like, you know, in any way, I wasn't solid enough in myself. I should have at that point stopped and gone within, and maybe it would have been cool to watch a bit of Kid President and gone, hang on, no, this is actually a thing. So getting rock solid makes sense. And perhaps if, when you look into your external environment, you're not getting the support or the encouragement that you need, make it. You know, because it's out there. There will, you know, like, I hear Gary Vee talking about it. You know, it's like, if you love peanut butter sandwiches, I mean, he hasn't talked about this, but it's like, you start a podcast or a show about peanut butter sandwiches, and there'll be a whole lot of people out there that just love peanut butter sandwiches, and your vibe would attract your tribe. So you did that. You did that yourself manually. You brought it in. I like that.
Exactly. And that's, you were just actually touching on the second point I was going to make about what is really, like, necessary to help in that is not just, because, like, it's only so much that you can build up yourself with from within for so long, because the external support is so powerful. It's actually, there's a study in psychology that, like, there's four influence triggers. There's four main influences that, like, will cause us to become our, you know, best self or the greatness that is within. And one of those is role models for success, which is very straightforward. It makes sense, is that if you can see someone doing what you want to be doing and you can relate with them, then you're going to build up that belief within yourself. But again, as you see, it always comes back within, but also having some of those examples and getting yourself around those types of people really helps. And so literally the day of my last final, when I was making that decision, I met my mentor, who I've been now working with for over 7 years, who I worked for her company, but now I still work, I coach with her. Wow. So I invested in support with her through her programs. And so that ultimately helped me like kind of take the leap and know that I was supported. Like I had no idea how it was going to work out. There was still the uncertainty, high amounts of fear, but there was, that was like logic that was playing in my mind. And then I realized like, that's just the story that I've been telling myself. Mm-hmm. And now just coming back within, coming to the heart of the matter, and just coming down to my heart is like, what would I love? Like not based on logic or what I think might be best in terms of like most secure or would earn the most money or whatever it is. Like, it's just, if I feel resonant with making this decision, I'm going to do it. And then I had that external support. So that had everything to do with my success, is believing myself within, but then also having that support from my mentor who I still work with.
I love it, because it's like, it's not a dream anymore. Like it's a dream to you still, but you're actually like, you know, sometimes we have these dreams and you think, oh, well, and all people might do the stuff, but yeah, when you're standing beside someone and that's what they do, and they're here like, I'll help you, whatever else. So what was it like when you met this person? Because I mean, again, like, you know, I love the synchronicity thing. I love the idea that everything happens for a reason, you know, and something bad's happening in our lives. And we're like, oh no, that's the worst thing that could ever happen. And then that led you to meet this person. And now you're blissfully happy. And you're like, well, actually pretty glad that thing there happened now.
Exactly. Yeah. Go figure, mention that, because that's actually a part of the story, is that I was close to actually not making the decision. I was still on the fence at the end of my fourth year. And because I still had 2 more years left to get the doctorate, but I failed a required course to continue on to get my doctorate. So I would have to repeat an entire year. So it would be 3 years more instead of just 2. Mm-hmm. That really helped me, like, all right, like screw this. Like I'm unhappy here. And the reason why I failed, which I had never failed a class in my entire life before, I failed because I lost interest. I just knew it wasn't for me anymore. And just subconsciously, I just made that happen. I literally failed by like 0.06 points. Right. So it happens, but I think you asked a question. I don't think I answered it yet. What was the question in terms of like there?
Oh, I guess it's like, you know, the synchronicity thing. Like, you know, was it a case of like that lady, you know, just, were you just cruising through campus? Were you at the local cafe and all of a sudden, boom, and you're like, wait a second. It's like might as well be like, oh, like, you know, the clouds part, sunlight hits the moment around you or something.
It actually was kind of like that, but only it wasn't in person. It was online. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned Bob Proctor. I'd been going into his information, like on YouTube or his website. Like I was on his free email list. He promoted a webinar or an online workshop that my mentor was hosting. I'd never heard of her before. And I signed up for the webinar. It was free. And then she was offering her coaching and her program. And I just resonated with it so deeply and just knew that it was what I needed. It was literally called the Dream Builder. I'm ready. I'm ready. I want to build my dream. So help. Like I need it. So that's ultimately what that catapulted me forward is meeting her online. But then like a month later, I did get to meet her in person because I went to an event of hers. I signed up for additional coaching because that first program was only 3 months. And then I invested in a year-long program with her, which was a high-level program. I was 21 at the time when I invested in that. The next person who is like in that program was like in their mid 30s. Mm-hmm. So like I was kind of like a black sheep, kind of like an oddity out there, but like I've resonated with so deeply. I just knew I needed that support. So
it's interesting that you took action too. Like, you know, how many people have their finger above the mouse clicker or they've started to put their details in like Tom, but I better go back and study because, you know, I've got this extra year to make up now and away you go. And the dream, like it's about to land on you, but perhaps, you know, it doesn't. I sometimes have this imagination or like a creative idea that, you know, when we look out at the stars are like whatever they are. And I know from a science perspective that this is probably, not probably like completely crazy, but that each of those stars is potentially another universe that's about to land on us, you know? And it's like, mm-hmm. as it's on its way in, you know, we're like almost guiding which one will come to us. And so, you know, if we can actually just click the button and do the thing that, or take the action or make the phone call or whatever it is, those actions need to happen. Like sit here and dream. It would have been, it's not likely that you sitting in your room there, that this spirit, the dream builder lady is not going to be like, and walk into your house and be like, oh, excuse me. Did you want to build your dream? No, you have to take some actions along the way. So you knew what you wanted And then, you know, when the moments are, you know, turned up in front of you, you know, luck is where preparation meets opportunity. You might look lucky, but you were prepared, you knew what you wanted, and then you seized the moment.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a big, big part of that most people miss, is like aligning your thinking with what you want is only half of the battle. You have to take action. And that's where most people get stuck, because the fear rises up so strongly. But that's where the deeper inner work and like believing in yourself and like studying and having your mind saturated with positive material helps you in aligning with what is true, and then taking action to do so. So,
because it's an interesting thing too. Like, you know, I even find like this podcast is like, I'm loving doing this, right? I'm loving meeting new people. This is fantastic, the conversations and whatnot. But, you know, the journey to perhaps where you want to be, you know, and having to kind of like, yeah, you know, the butterfly is a good example. You know, like this caterpillar's cruising around, he's chomping all the food up. Then he has to hit this cocoon phase where gelatinous mess or whatever. You know, that's a crazy time. And when you when you're kind of leaving what you want to do, not everyone probably has the story of maybe landing in that, in the paying job. I mean, you had to, you know, obviously pay some money to get into that, do courses and whatever else to actually be the right person at the right time. But you know, it can be tricky in those when the initial enthusiasm wears off, you know, and it's, so it's like the initial enthusiasm is worn off, and all of a sudden now it's like, oh gosh, where am I? I'm in this thing. Can I do it? Will I do it? Looking back at perhaps maybe that safety net of the pharmacy thing or whatever it is for anyone else to jump back to that, you know, do you have any like thoughts about how to like make it through? And we kind of touched on it, but how do you make it through that where you almost feel like you're crawling, like the weight of the world is coming down on you?
Yep. It's having support. It's the second thing I mentioned. That goes along with staying the course. Because my favorite definition of discipline, which is ultimately what is needed, discipline is doing the thing that you said you wanted to do long after the feeling in which you said it in has left you.
I like that.
And most people do not have their discipline built up to a way that they can continue to decide for going for their dream, especially when that feeling has left them. Because it's not all about inspiration, motivation, like butterflies, like it's all good and dandy, like and rainbows, you know. There's some tough times. And the reason why I really believe I got to where I am now is, as I mentioned, I invested in a year-long coaching with my mentor. That's ultimately what bridged the gap between where I was and then working for her company. Like, I didn't actually go out to try to apply for a company, a job for her company. It literally came to me. It was like, I guess I mentioned, a synchronistic opportunity. But between then and like, it was like about an 8-month process between when I started working with her and I left pharmacy to then where I got that job. And I mentioned I got a job working for my fraternity. It was just part-time. It was earning like just enough money, honestly, to pay rent and food.
Which is a big thing in itself, isn't it? Like to do that, that's scary. A lot of people be like, oh no, I couldn't earn this to do this. But it's almost like that's a requirement as well. You had to like kind of step off the ledge and know that there would be like, you know, it's not perfect, but what is perfect? If it's enough to help springboard you there, then it part of it is not a perfection.
Exactly. Yeah. But the end, what I was mentioning about the support is that if I didn't have that support moving forward, I probably would have succumbed to my deeper fears. Because during that time, it was not sunshine and rainbows throughout that entire 8-month process before I got the job working for my fraternity. Then like a couple months later, when I moved to Texas to do that, to work for that my fraternity down there. And at that time I got certified as a yoga instructor, but I didn't even start teaching until after I got the job, like the teaching yoga until after I got the job with my mentor. But in that time, like there was still so much doubt. It's like, did I make the right decision? Like I'm, you know, I left a 6-figure career and now I'm like earning like, you know, minimum wage. And like, there was so many doubts in my head, but if I didn't have a weekly coaching call with my mentor, I probably would have went off the rails and just like, no, like this is not working. It's not for me. Like it's not happening, you know, especially with, I feel like it's most people is that there's this need for instant gratification that never happens with building a dream. It's almost impossible. Like maybe there's like a 0.0001% of people that like, you know, hit the stage and like, you know, show someone, like, let's say like they sing really well and like they get a deal, but like, that's very rare. There's still a lot of work to be done. And so having support, I believe, is essential to really making your dreams come true.
And finding that person, because, you know, you think about how many people are tuned into this right now and thinking like, yeah, but I've tried to live my dreams and I've tried to do this thing and it's too hard and I haven't been able to. Well, stop and actually ask yourself, did you go and get support? And did you go and get ongoing support? And it's not about having somebody come, like if you're in the lifeboat, you're going to have to paddle. There's going to be some work. It's not, someone else isn't going to turn up and be like, oh, I'll paddle your boat for you. But they might help. They might grow. They might grab an oar, right? And they might start paddling some, but you'll only go in a circle unless you are on the other side also paddling. So perhaps it is like that. Maybe people feel like they're going in circles because they've just only got one oar themselves and it's tough going. And maybe you could do both or whatever else, but to really live a dream, you probably actually need other people in the boat picking up oars and helping you row towards where you need to go.
100%. I love that analogy. That's great. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
My mind works in analogies. Everybody around me is like, oh yeah, that's pretty much how my brain works. I do love them. I don't know where they come from, but it is fun to talk about them.
Yeah.
So two-part question for you.
Okay.
Are you happy and how do you define happiness?
1,000%. I'm happy. And but it's interesting. I want to answer that in a more full way, because right now my life, I am so happy. In the last like several months, like since the beginning of the lockdown with COVID in March, it's really interesting. Like I, with all the things that are happening in this world, is still really challenging. It's hard. It's terrible. But also I've been having the best year I've ever had in my life, but that doesn't happen to me. That happened. I created this experience. Mm. But I will say is like 2 years ago when I was like in the first year of my business, I wouldn't say I was happy. Like it was still really challenging and I was struggling a lot because I'd never started a business before. So like happiness is an interesting thing. I think it comes and goes in waves. Like that's actually what's coming to my mind is the definition of happiness that I've heard that is just gorgeous, is that happiness is like a butterfly. You can't make it come to you, but you can hold your hand open and make it welcome. But it is as light as a butterfly. It'll land, it'll stay a while, it'll be beautiful and gorgeous. And then sometimes it'll just flutter away. And then you just have to be okay with it being fluttering away and just keeping open for when it comes back.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. But the one thing I want to add around that analogy is like, I really believe we can create our own happiness as well. So like maybe with adding that analogy is like, maybe you have some like honey, like on your hand is like, you can attract it very easily.
Or you're at a butterfly farm, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So like we can create it, but like, it still is this ephemeral experience. It comes and goes and there's waves, of course, because no, I really don't believe we're meant to live 100% happy 100% of the time.
You can't be sweet without the sour almost. Yeah.
Exactly. Because that's denying our human experience. We have times in our life that we just aren't happy. Mm. You know, so the way I define it is really being able to do what you want to do when you want to do it with who you want to surround yourself with. And just ultimately it's just autonomy as I see it. It's like that, and that's why I really feel like over the last several months it's been like I've been the happiest in my life, because as my business has been growing, as I've been having such a more solid foundation in my business and I'm just becoming more mature in my own life, it's been so much easier to create that happiness that I've always wanted because so many things are working together. But I will say that there has been many times in my life that I've been very happy and things haven't been working. Mm-hmm. It's not like in my first year of my business, I was never happy, but I would say most often it was a challenge and there was times where I wasn't, but it's a very interesting question. It's a great question, but I think there's so many nuances to it.
It's interesting too that, like, you know, if perhaps, you know, that's a you know, correlation or a link people need to make, in that just because you're living your purpose or just because you're engaged in your passions, that doesn't necessarily equal happiness forever and always. So on that path of purpose, you imagine you're like, I've made it. I'm a life coach and I'm a this and I've got the job. And then it's like, but hang on a minute. Why am I still not feeling it? That doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a sign that you're on the right path. The path you're on may still resonate. You just need to understand that there's going to be ups and downs. And that is, as you said, part of the human experience.
Exactly. Yeah. And even to this day, like, I mean, this past year, I'm saying it's like the best year of my life and like I'm the happiest I've ever been. It's not that it's always been this way. Like I can remember the time in September, I was in a really dark place because like of the certain like choices I made in terms of habits. Like I really feel like I wasn't living the way I knew I wanted to live. And like, I was waking up later than I thought I wanted to be waking up. And I wasn't as consistent with like the, what I call rituals that I love to put in place in my day. And so there was a time where like, I remember having a conversation with my girlfriend and just like, I was just not happy. And I was like kind of beating myself up. It's like, I've been running this coaching business for 3 years and like, it's been going well. And now like, even with all that happening, I still like, there's things I feel like I'm not any further along. Now, that was all my doubting thoughts, my fear thoughts. And that was, came from just this upper limit of success that I've been hitting in my business, in my life. So like, I see it clearly now, but it was challenging to go through. And without the support in my life from my coach, but also like my friends, my family, like my girlfriend, like it's challenging still, you know, so it's still, support is necessary.
So that's an interesting thing, right? So support got you to your dream. Support, yeah. Continue. So support is a constant.
Yes.
It's not something like, you know, I don't have the person hop in the boat and then they quickly jump out. It's almost like, you know, the supporters, I'm in my billy cart now. And, you know, it's like, there's not even anyone else in here, but you know, I've started to reach the uphill. You know, every now and then when those things happen, you probably need to get out and push, but maybe you need somebody else at the really tough moments when the billy cart might slide back down the hill. You need those people to sort of rush in when you need them and just help with that final little bit to get you up over the hill, sit back on, sit in the billy cart again and down the other side. So, yeah. So that consistent piece, how is it that you, or tips to other people, I suppose, because it seems to be helping you through those dark times. Is it a coach? Is it, you know, like, cause I mean, coaching seems like an easy one. You could have a coach forever and you could change coaches and you could have multiple different coaches, PTs and, you know, different things. So what is your advice in that space, I suppose, to set up an environment of continued support?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I believe with my whole heart is that you have to find someone that resonates with you. In terms of coaching, let's talk about that for just a second. It's like finding someone that really resonates with you, because you could like have a direct access to Tony Robbins, but if he doesn't resonate with you, he's not going to be able to help you to the greatest degree that he can possibly can. He's brilliant, but every one of us has a unique resonance with a certain person who provides a service. And they come into our lives at certain particular times. It's like just the right moment, like for me, and I found my mentor. Because like, for example, like I was listening to Bob Proctor, but I never thought about taking any of his programs. But then boom, like the first time I meet my mentor, her name is Mary Morrissey. First time I meet Mary, I want to work with you like right away. So that's the foundation I always like recommend, is like finding someone that resonates with you, because that will help you out the most. But then outside of coaching is building that kind of, or even dream building, the kind of environment you want to have around you. Like I dreamt up the relationship that I'm in right now, that I've been dating my girlfriend for 2.5 years. She knows I'm going to propose to her at some point. I'm not going to say on this podcast when, because she may listen to that. and my friends that I have in my life, people I get to connect with, my colleagues, and as well as like my connection with my brother who I have my podcast with, like I dreamed this up 3 to 4 or 5 years ago. I wrote it down and had a good vision statement of it and connected with that vision every day. So this doesn't just happen by accident. You have to choose the life you want to create and then create it. Wow. So that's my highest advice, is like literally just dream it up, be as specific as possible. It's like, what kind of relationships do you want? What kind of support do you want? How does that look? How often do you connect with them? What do you talk about? And how does that support you in your life? And if it's friends and family, like how do you support them? So like, even to this day, I have a vision for a year from now and 3 years from now of what my relationships are like, including my relationship with my mentor. So it's something I continue with. And that's definitely my highest suggestion, is dream it up and then build it.
That's interesting too, because it's so, in a way you're not leaving, there's still going to be chance, and there's still going to be, you know, you can be like, tomorrow I'm going to, you know, I want this to happen, and something else might happen. You're like, well, actually things change now, I'm going to head in this direction. But, you know, you're trying to create a navigation system for your life almost. Like you're in the car and you're setting the TomTom or the GPS to say, beep, 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 I'd like to go to this place, please. And it makes sense. If I hop in a car, I want to go for a drive. Sure, I could just roam around and do whatever. But like, how much fuel do I need for that? Do I need to be near a service station, whatever else? At least if you're putting coordinates in, then that when you see opportunities or the reticular activation system kicks into gear and you start to say, hey, that's important to me, this important, that's actually a moment I need, rather than just cruising along on autopilot, I haven't built in any support. And I mean, even building in support makes sense to be in the plan, because everyone, you're not just going to do it alone. You're not trudging through the desert. You know, even if you're trudging through the desert, you probably want someone else to cruise along with a bottle of water and be like, hey, there's a watering hole over there. So, yep. So building that in, you're not leaving it to chance. You're actually saying, like, you know, I love the idea of you programming the GPS. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So like in terms of like the vision and setting your vision of like what you want to create,
like
right?
If someone else to tune in right now, you know, I'd say like 99% of people probably haven't written down goals. And even more so, if they have, they're probably not, you know, writing down like a whole vision for their life, including the other actors. It's almost like you've got the book and you're writing you're planning what the next chapters of your book, the characters, the storyline, the plot, you know? So tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah. So what I work with and what I share with my clients, every single one of my clients will do this, is write out what's called a vision statement. It's more than just written down goals, because I've often found that goals are kind of just like a bullet point list, and it's like a laundry list, and it's kind of just boring to even look at. Mm. There's no dimension to it. So a vision statement is where you're dreaming up, not like 10 years from now, but 3 years, where, so it's far enough out so you can really dream into what you would love, that's not limited based on your past or history, but it's also not so far out that it feels like fantasy. So 3 years, dream up what you would love. And then in the vision statement, you write down exactly what you want as specifically as possible. So for example, like when I first started my business, so when I was working for my mentor's company, wanted to start my business, I wrote out a 3-year vision that I'm earning $100,000 a year. I serve X amount of clients that equals that. And then in my business, I'm working with clients from all around the world, and I love what I do. I feel so on purpose with what I'm doing. And like, I have my Instagram content, I have a podcast, like I speak on webinars, and I attract clients to me easily. Like, I literally wrote this out into the life that I'm living today. And I have this for my next year and my next 3 years. So it's a continuous process. But again, it's more than just a goal, because goals can be one dimensional. Or rather, I guess, three-dimensional, whereas a vision statement is more fifth-dimensional, where you're getting into the feeling and how does it resonate with you when you are living that life, and you're writing it in the present tense. It's not I'm going to, because that creates the pattern of I'm going to, but you want to impress the subconscious mind with I am doing this. So that's why it's also 3 years out. So again, you can really feel it's like, okay, like this is possible, this can happen, and really writing it out in that way. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like a little sneak peek into that. Like, honestly, I could talk about this for 2 hours, which I have done. Like, I have a whole workshop that's called the Vision Workshop that's specifically to dive into this. Yeah. But if there's any other thing, anything else you want me to go into around that?
It's interesting, because I'm just sitting here and just thinking, like, you know, about rail, you know, a rail car, or, you know, in here we have an electric rail, and it's like you see the trains going along and they're being pulled across. And if you could... you know, grab someone's timeline and you know, whether you could just look at it as a line, and you could fast forward or rewind, it'd almost be like they're this little train and they're connected, but it's their guiding principles or these guiding thoughts or this vision that they've got, that they're saying, this is who I am, this is who I am. It's not real to start with, but if they hold that in their belief and they hold it in their mind, if you were to fast forward the timeline of their life, you would see them like slowly actually land and hit that life that they want to live, and they would all of a sudden they'd step into it and it would be the reality, much like you're sitting here right now. So to not do that would mean that you'd probably just be on the train line and end up wherever.
Exactly.
And that's fine, and that might be a fine life and zen and things are as they are and don't make any changes, whatever, that's fine. But if you are somewhere right now tuned into this and you would actually like to make changes and like to end up somewhere else, well, just actually like holding that thought in your mind, the person who is likely to achieve it is the person who says in their mind that yes, I believe it, and yes, I can do it. You don't believe it, pretty well definitely not going to get there. Like that's a sure thing that you won't do it.
Yep, exactly. And the cool thing is you don't have to believe it in the beginning. Most people think it's like, if I'm dreaming up this possible future, it's like, there's a part of me that doesn't believe it. That's actually good news. It's a sign that this is actually something that will expand your life mm-hmm. to the point where you have to work on actually believing like it's possible. So that's why it's so powerful, is that you have to change yourself to be in alignment with the vision that you write down. And it can shift and change, which it did for me like many times, which when the first time I wrote out a vision statement was when I started working with my mentor. So this was 2014. And in my vision, I was a top seller in a direct sales company, which that shifted and changed within a year or two. And especially when I got certified as a yoga instructor, then I shifted my vision to being an international yoga teacher, and I had programs online. And then when I got the job working for my mentor, I shifted that to like, oh, well, I'm like creating programs in her company. And then a couple of years later, when I really knew I wanted to be my own coach, that's when I designed my vision to be my own business. Yeah. And now that I've finally locked in with this, this now is like really my purpose. Now I've been starting to build more of a foundation to that. My vision now, 3 years from now, is what my business is going to be doing 3 years from now. Mm. But it took me some time to really hone into it.
And it's okay to change it. Like if you're driving something, you're like, oh, I want to drive to here. And you're like, well, you know, as you're going there, you're like, well, actually, no, there's traffic there. You know, the place is on COVID lockdown. I'll turn and we'll go to this other place because that place now seems more interesting to me, or whatever it is. So I think that being okay with changing is important. And it's nice to hear that, you know, in your world that happens, because and 3 or 5 years from now, you know, who knows, you might have come across super yachts, and that's all you want to do is sail around on super yachts. And so that could be part of the dream, because we don't know what we don't know. We can't fast forward our timeline, but it does sound good that you don't just continue down a path because you started down it. And often that's what it is. It's almost like breadcrumbs. You land in this place and you're like, oh, actually, there's a little clue to success over here. Let me just, because it resonates again. And maybe that feeling of what resonates with you, all of a sudden you hit the next thing and you're like, oh, that's actually even bigger than what I was feeling over here. And so then you keep pulling yourself through until you finally are sitting where you feel like, no, this is it now. Now you're getting rock solid and you're building up.
Exactly.
I like it. And so in your world, then, you know, if you were to back to it, you know, time machine, back to your 18-year-old self, what would be the advice that you would give 18-year-old Kevin?
I was pondering that question because I know you sent me the questions before, and that's a really challenging one for me, since that was around the time I started to change. Like when I was 19 was when I really started to like shift and change. And that was just a couple months after my birthday, when I turned 19. So like 18-year-old self, I would honestly give him the advice that it's so simple, but it's honestly deceptively simple, is to follow your heart with what resonates with you, and trust what's within, because that is the highest intelligence in your life. That other people, like you were mentioning before, is like they can be well-meaning, but if it doesn't resonate with you, then cast it aside. Like say it's not for you. That could be truth for them in their life, but if it's not for you, then that's not for you. So just resonating within, if like really honestly learning to trust the heart, because that's not something that we're taught. We're taught to listen to the mind more often. And so actually one other piece of advice that goes along with that, because in order to listen to the heart, like I really think that a big part of the reason why I was able to believe myself so much more, not only with saturating my mind with positivity, but it was also that I got into yoga and meditation. And so I started to really just notice just my own mind and how often it would just be pulled to different directions, and how that actually really wasn't me, like who I really am as a spiritual being having the human experience. Like it was the human experience that I was noticing was the thoughts going everywhere. And so I think my advice to my 18-year-old self was just to meditate more, so you can get to know yourself more, so that it's easier to then follow the heart.
I like that. Yeah, meditation's actually like changed my life a bit. I need to do it more often because it is one of those things where all of a sudden you'll find yourself running away with thoughts, because it's almost like that's who I am at that point in time. But you know, you can actually step out of that, and you can just let the thought go and let the next thought go and the next thought go, and you are still there even with no thoughts. So that's an interesting thing. So if you were to jump forward to your 100th birthday, again, time machine, you're at your 100th birthday, looking back on your life, what do you think you would like to have achieved?
I know exactly what that is. And that's only just in the last couple of months that I've really locked into this, is where my business is heading. So up until now, I haven't, like my business name is like Casey Coaching Incorporated. It's just my initials. But I hadn't really had like a real foundation of like who I want to serve, like what I want, what kind of impact I want to make on this world. And now I really know. So this has not happened yet. It's happening at the end of this year, is I'm changing my business name to Soul Legacy Institute. And so my purpose and what I would love to achieve by the end of, you know, my, like, or at least when I turn 100, is that, and this is just an arbitrary number, but I would love to impact like 1 million people into living their soul's legacy, not just their purpose, because the purpose is how we serve our soul's message. But then I believe is our, what we're here to do is to live out our legacy, which goes beyond just this lifetime. I really believe, I truly believe that the people that are on planet Earth right now are here for a specific reason, to uplevel the vibration of this planet and usher in, I mean, honestly, world peace. And so I want to be a player in that. So where I'm serving people to then be living their own legacy by, I want to serve, like I am serving right now, but I want to expand that. And so by when I'm 100, I want to look back in my life and say, I've served over 1 million conscious entrepreneurs to be doing what they love and impacting their own unique world with their own information and what they're uniquely imprinted to then bring into this time and space. So it's like, I like to say it's your soul print instead of your thumbprint. You know, it's like everyone's unique. Every soul has a unique mission on this planet. So I would love to impact 1 million people in that way.
That's interesting, isn't it, too? Because, you know, you think that if you live that out and you touch 1 million people, well, those 1 million people are going to go in and do whatever they're doing. And then, like, you just think of, like, the positivity just bouncing in every single direction, and then everybody else doing the same thing. Like, it is going to lift the vibration and the level of how everyone's treating everyone. And if it does end up at a point where we're, you know, experiencing world peace, well, I mean, that's a terrific outcome. So I love that you know that, and a great share. I certainly appreciate it. So people are watching this and they're thinking to themselves, like, I would love to work with you or follow you. Where's the best places for people to do that?
So my website, I'd encourage people to go to first. It's kevincarton.com, my first name, last name.com. And particularly, like, a first step is the vision workshop I mentioned. If anyone was interested at all in going through that process of discovering, not only discovering, but then actually writing out and solidifying a vision statement that will inspire you on a daily basis to take action, that workshop is on my website that you can invest in. It's a very low cost investment compared to my coaching. But also, like, on my website is, like, in more information about my coaching services as well. So my website is the first place I'd recommend, but then I'm most active on my Instagram page on social media. So that is at Kevin F. Carton, and you can connect with me there.
Kevin, this has been so wonderful. I appreciate so much you taking the time to catch up, mate. I'm really glad that we've connected. I'm sure that people are going to get a lot out of this interview. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And thank you for having me on the show. I had a lot of fun and just discussing all this. A lot of new things came up too. So it's a great talk. Thank you.
So everybody tuned in right now, thank you so much. I hope that you enjoyed this interview. Like, share, comment, tell a friend, all of that fun stuff. I'm Tom Bell, and I'm looking forward to catching you on the next episode.